Everybody, happy Friday. This is your host, LaVon, live from the Love Lab, hosting the Anti-Media Radio. Thank you for being here with us live. We are happy to have a program for you Monday through Friday here at UCY.TV. They've been our home for quite a while now, and we're so excited to have even more time to share our awesome ideas and news with you guys. So Monday through Thursday, we do our best to cover live topics that are occurring in the world. And on Friday, we try and balance the program with a little bit of practical things that you can apply to your life so that you can think globally but act locally. And we've been having lots of awesome segments the past few weeks in preparation for a sacred journey that's going to occur. Leslie Goldman is once again live with us here in the studio. Hi, Leslie.
Hi, LaVon. It's so nice to be with you here tonight so we can talk about accessing our soul nature. And also, I've been blogging this week about the light act, being a light act in contrast to the dark act. In other words, we've got a handful of people in Washington helping us get our act together, because if they get their act together and we don't get our act together, we end up the world the way it is right now, feeling like we're victims to finances, victims to all kinds of things, and our dreams just stay in the box. You know what I mean about our dreams sticking in the box and feeling like we're being victimized by things we need to do, like finances, paying the rent, doing this, doing that. Whereas someplace inside, there's a dream we were all meant to do. So I want to talk a little bit about accessing our rare seed nature. You know, how do we do that? How do we access, even in the midst of so many things happening in the world, such as that look dark, how do we be a light act in the world? How do we be a light act in the world when the world that we're reacting to asks us to spend a lot of our time either fighting against something, making ends meet? We hardly get a chance to access our dream. LaVon, can you relate to what I'm saying about about taking a leap of faith and doing what you can to access your dream?
More than ever, I used to talk a lot about my JOB on this program, and I was so proud of my position in the community and the manner in which I help people. And it was so gratifying to see people kind of like facilitate a healing reaction. And a healing reaction is when you're like thwarted into change and your body goes, whoa, there's something else going on here. And I was a facilitator of that at my previous job, and it satisfied my desire to help people be their best. But it stopped doing that for me after some time because of various things, and I realized that the only true way to help somebody be their absolute best is to ensure that foundation is solid, meaning that their cells are being built out of awesome materials. So for me, I decided that I want to get back to my first love, which is food. You know, I grew up watching my grandpa grow his own food and manage a restaurant, and it's just such a beautiful experience to go outside and pick your own lunch, you know, and you nurture people's souls on a cellular level. And so many people, I honestly believe that most of America is starving for nutrition. You know, they're eating empty food. It's like you said, it's an empty harvest, and we're creating people who are made of this empty harvest. So we have a nation of semi people, you know, I call them human doings. They're not human beings. We need more beautiful sustenance so that we can have more beings walking around. But I know how people can get stuck at the job. It's so easy to become complacent and lose your connection to the earth, because our world is so different now, Leslie, isn't it?
Well, you know, I have most of my teachings in repurposed pizza boxes. And that whole metaphor came to me years ago when that same handful of gentlemen and ladies in Washington who decided that, a few years ago, one of their acts was they defined 2 ounces of tomato sauce as a vegetable. And they did that so they could work around the idea of kids getting healthier lunches in the schools. So by defining 2 ounces of tomato sauce as a vegetable, therefore they could save a lot of money because they wouldn't have to have fresh vegetables in the school lunch program. And it was at that time that I started my campaign, which was called Grow a Healthier Pizza, which of course is a metaphor for grow some of your own food and also winning back your sacred seeds. So here's one poem that kind of sets the tone and leads into this idea of how can we access our rare seed nature. How more beautiful would the world be if all the heirloom seeds sitting on shelves and packages became the plants they could be? How much more soul would there be in the world if we allowed our inner seed dreams to come out of their packages and boxes and grow the plants they can be? How much passion and life would we feel? How more peaceful and healthy would the world be? Mother Nature says, plant your dream because your soul is intended to be a fully expressing heirloom seed in her cornucopia of earthly abundance. She wants you fully growing in the world now. What do you think of that, Levon? Do you think there's any force that wants you growing in the world now in spite of all the pressures and the...
Totally. I often describe myself as a plant, and my old titles and position was fantastic, and it really nourished me as a plant, but I feel like I'm my roots are becoming substantial and I just need more space. Like, I can't be put in a box, Leslie. Like, I just can't. Like, even my love lab, it's a big open space, and you can create or destroy as many boxes as you want. You know, all the rooms are interchangeable here because I literally cannot be put in a box. And I think a rare seed gets to a certain point where they're just itching to do what's written in them. You know, they want to grow. So I'm really excited about having opportunity to not be in a box. Well, temporarily, we're gonna be in the Enchanted Garden Mobile, which is definitely enchanted. I got a chance to practice driving the Enchanted Garden Mobile last week, and many more days to come. It's a 68 Volkswagen bus with a lot of spirit. And if you guys don't know yet, Leslie and I are going to make a journey, and we're going to find rare seeds. And we're going to hope to inspire the public, the people, the populace, towards building communities via food. And more importantly, building gardens, which can be very overwhelming to people. But our message is that it should not be, because you can be a gardener with just a pot. So we're going to start releasing planned destinations and hoping to see a lot of people meeting up with us because we have really special seeds to give away. And do you want to tell people about what we have, Leslie? What's going on?
Yeah. Well, one of the exciting, I would say I've been experiencing a lot of fears lately from being stuck in my own. Yeah. Yeah, well, I've been experiencing different fears, and at the same time, a lot of seeds that I've planted are coming true this week. Like, can you imagine, like, here's a picture, LaVon. What do you see in this picture? That picture of those people, what are they holding?
Your seed packet.
Yeah.
Those are your seed packets.
Yeah, I mean, what a dream. I mean, do you realize that everything starts with an idea?
It does.
And everything starts with an idea, and then the idea becomes what I call a seed dream, and then you plant your dream, and when you plant the dream, then you have to remember to water the dream. See, most people don't realize. Okay, let's say that.
Hold on, not to be rude, Lizzie, but we have someone on the line. Thank you for calling us. What's your name? Hello? Oh, maybe they're shy. Okay, please get back to me.
I love your callers. They're always such a nice addition. You know, we're right in the middle of something, and then the phone rings. I wonder who it is. Maybe it's Keep the Beat. Maybe it's the spirit of something. So what was I saying?
We're talking about seed dreams and how they use water.
Yeah, and I was talking about how things get planted and how things grow. It's like we either live in the world in someone else's dream or we plant our own dream. Can you imagine that? Planting your own dream. It starts with something you imagine, and then you have to bring it down into the earth, and then you actually... the metaphor or the literal thing is, if you do enchanted gardening, you actually plant your dream in soil, and as you water your dream, you can see it grow. Literally watering your dream. One of the dreams I had, which I probably planted about 2 years ago, was to have Baker Creek produce a seed packet, one, two, or three seed packets. And in the midst of the chaos, even while I was stuck, even while I was having physical pain, even while I was doubting whether I would be making this journey, I took time and put those fears aside, and I finished turning in the paperwork to create some forward momentum so that what's happening right now could happen. And what's happening is there are 5,000 Win Back Your Sacred Seed starter kits that are being mailed. A third of them are being mailed to San Diego to take on our journey in the Enchanted Gardenmobile. Can you imagine that? I mean, a seed packet with starting from an idea that I had, and the idea now came down to earth, got communicated to somebody else, and they invested in the idea, and those packets are in the mail getting ready to arrive so we can give them away and help other people learn how to plant a dream. What do you think of that, LaVon?
Well, the people on the chat, they think we're talking about silly stuff. But I got to tell you, the earth, the earth is kinetic, just like your body. And when you set an intention, it conspires to make it so, whether it's fueled by love or fear. So I really believe in the power of setting intentions, and it's so wonderful to plant a seed while you do it, because in a sense you get to see it, occurring, you know. And it's going to be really inspiring to share that with people. And I'm posting some information in the chat right now. I hope that link's not outrageous. That link's to the Leslie Goldman's Facebook. You can look him up on there. It's public, right? So people can find you?
Yeah. Well, especially I'd like them to look at the YouTube.
The YouTube videos. Yeah.
Where people are reading the
there's
Sacred
some...
Seed.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Let's...
Sacred Seed.
Prayer. Leslie was a speaker at the March Against Monsanto in San Diego, and we had some really awesome...
That's the one right there.
We had some really awesome participation from the crowd, and it was so moving. So I'm going to drop that link in the chat, you guys. Check it out.
Well, I'm curious what is silly stuff and what is unsilly stuff.
It's just people are skeptical when they hear certain words, and words have a lot of power. So when you set an intention as a gardener, you literally plant it. And mostly my mission is to help people become more connected to their food, because ultimately it's becoming more connected to yourself, which is really important. And so many people are in this existence searching for something, an anchor, you know, and why not be your own? When you're content in your being, like, you're literally grounded and you're anchored. So regardless of your beliefs, I think food's a major part of that. There's some correlation between food and feeling good. I don't know. There's some sort of madness in there, Leslie.
So what is the pure food revolution? That's what Baker Creek is calling the National Heirloom Expo, September 8 through 10. What is the pure food revolution as far as what people are getting to eat right now and what more and more people will be eating without knowing because of these laws that are on their way into law in Washington called the Dark Act, which deny people the right to know.
Hi there, you're on with the Anti-Media Radio. What's your name?
Levon, how you doing? The goddess of Anti-Media Show. What's up, Leslie? How you doing?
All right. Hi there. Who is this evening? I'm sorry, I didn't catch your name.
This is Manny from Hollywood, California. How you doing?
Oh, Manny, I thought that was you. I'm doing really well. It's nice to hear from you.
Well, same here. I just wanted to comment, you know, compliment you guys on your show, something like that. You kind of made me remember, you know, working in the fields. There was rough work because we were on document and stuff like that. And, I mean, it's not something I would want to do the rest of my life, you know, stuff like that. It's something that's necessary for you to do. But one of the things that you reminded me of is the only thing I feel like about being a migrant worker is that we connected to Mother Earth and stuff like that. And that's one of the most positive things that, you know, people should maybe get rid of the teepees or whatever and go out hiking and actually see, do what Leslie's doing, you know, and just plant the seed, water the seed, and love the seed, you know.
Well, you know, these silly things I'm talking about are the way people lived on the earth for most of the time that they really lived. And they lived according to principles of nature, principles of growth. Gardening wasn't just about something physical. It was about a whole connection to a way of life that included the moon, that included the stars, that included rituals, that included ceremony, that included seasons, that included community. It was like people would come together for these festivals and for different things, and they had ways of coming together to celebrate the harvest and celebrate the growth. We have some of that coming back through the farmers market, which I would say is not your everyday
shopping experience. I'm looking forward to doing a trial run with LaVon this Sunday at the Hillcrest Farmers Market, where we're going to actually go to the Hillcrest Farmers Market in San Diego and do a trial run of what we're going to be doing on the road in the Enchanted Garden Mobile, my 68 VW van. Can you imagine that, Manny, taking a 68 VW van 700 or 800 miles one way up to from San Diego to Santa Rosa just because you feel you have to go there, or it's like a spiritual pilgrimage? Have you been in your work, like when we met at the March Against Monsanto? I really have enjoyed watching you in that video, the way you were participating and saying the sacred seed prayer. What do you think of that, when I was on stage and we were saying that sacred seed prayer and you and all the others were repeating the words? What do you think of that?
Well, I think it's one of the most lovely things to happen, because people have no clue about, protecting Mother Nature and being grounded with the earth. And, it's like the fight that we have against, the killing of all these animals. People forget that, Mother Earth has to be protected at any cost and stuff like that. Because we humans are not, the people that control the earth. We're only here as visitors and stuff like that. And that's one of the things that really moved me about what you're doing. You are so committed. You just, as an activist, I don't get blown away very easily. But you blew me away.
Well, you blew me away too with your support and the support that I received that day. I really hope those videos that we made, there's two of them, the one that LaVon just put up and the other one, which was about winning back your sacred seed. This whole idea of rare seed and sacred seed, that goes back thousands of years as well. It's the idea that not only are there indigenous seeds, which once were all we had, but there are indigenous people that I call rare seeds. And we want to encourage people to express their rare seed nature. There was a man who once said, his name was Romain Rolland, he once said, "There's no lack in the universe of souls that will form the new ground." And the Enchanted Garden Mobile is our vehicle to for thousands and thousands of people who took their lives out of the box, literally out of the pizza box, and lived their dreams and planted like these starter kits that we're getting, these winning back your sacred seed starter kit. I'll talk more about that. But what do you think of that answer to making the world a more beautiful place by people planting dreams and living the life they were that they imagined? What do you think of that, Manny?
I think it might be Manny. Are you there?
Yeah, what happened to your song? All of a sudden we went dead.
Oh, I don't know what happened. I wish it wasn't been light over here. That's too bad.
Okay, well, I'm glad we're back live and all that.
Oh, strange. Okay.
I want to compliment you, LaVon, for having Leslie talk about this, because I can't see a better person talking about gardens and talking about Mother Earth, et cetera, et cetera, than Leslie. If there's one place that reminds me, when I go to San Diego to do activist work, if there's one place that I always get reminded of Leslie, it's the World Beat Center, because, it's just amazing how you can eat there, and everything came from the garden and stuff like that. And the commitment that I see at the World Peace Center is just super amazing, actually, stuff like that, So keep on doing your good show, with some good guests and stuff like that, LaVon. And a lot of hugs from Hollywood, California, okay?
All right.
Thank you.
Thanks, Manny. We might be coming through Hollywood before too long.
Okay, well, I'm sure you'll keep me posted, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Have a good night. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Manny.
Thank you.
So that was a fellow activist of ours, Manny, and he was an actual migrant worker in the fields dealing with not only indigent pay, but horrible experience in regards to his rights as an individual, preparing our food, you know, compensated very little. Not only that, the exposure to the chemicals. So I encourage you guys to really consider where your food comes from. And if the people who are growing it are getting sick from the things that they're putting on it, and we have proof that it's destroying our ecosystem and depleting our soil and causing disease, why do we continue to fund it, to support it, and to let it occur? And it's daunting. Like, I get overwhelmed. I really do. I've been in this, I call it food freedom. I've been in the food freedom fight since 2010, so 5 years, trying to get rooted and find out, you know, what's my purpose and how can I make a living, making a living. It boggles my mind how my mother birthed me here. I didn't ask to be here, you know, poof, here I am. And then I have to literally trade my hours of existence for money so that I can buy food. Why not just spend my existence cultivating food? You see that? Like, I'm missing out on my life if I'm spending my time for dollars.
Well, on the itinerary of the pilgrimage we want to take, I want to take you to the Fry Organic Winery. And that's in Redwood Valley. It's about 100 miles beyond Santa Rosa. And once a year, I get to do a nature retreat there. And there are many in the younger generation of the Fry family. It's like about, maybe 8 brothers and 4 or 5 sisters, and they live on 2,000 acres where they grow this organic and biodynamic wine. And all the youngsters have visions of things like Daniel, a food forest, and different ideas that they have. And there's like someone who is raising, making his own cheese and treating the few cows they have with dignity and gathering the milk in the most hygienic way and making healing foods out of the earth. And it's such a joy, Levon. I hope we get to go and be in that pond there and have... If you look at on my Facebook page that I did this morning where I'm talking about rare seeds among us, you could see some pictures of the fruit from trees that met me when I visited there last year.
What's it called?
The Fry Organic Winery. It's the oldest certified winery in the United States. And I think people should understand the difference between chemical agriculture and actual biodynamic agriculture, which biodynamic agriculture is based on principles. Here's a picture of Katrina Fry right there. She helps keep the winery together. But if you like wine, I would suggest you use Fry non-sulfide wine. And one thing about the Fry family and Katrina, they're one of my sponsors and they help support my journey. You see, if you focus, Levon, on your dream, and you focus on one dream at a time, because each dream has 1,000 details. If you focus on 10 dreams at a time, you'll accomplish just about one detail from 10 dreams. And then at the end of the month, you wonder, where's your paycheck? Yeah, that's one of the secrets of bringing forth your rare seed nature. And I don't do this very well myself. That's why you and I are probably very, very similar. But that's why I say start growing food in one pot. Because if you have too big of a dream or too big of a plan, you scatter yourself. And there's always forces, whether they're dark acts or whatever, compelling you to be a light act in the world. There's always things forcing you to learn the rules, which people have forgotten, of how things really grow on the earth. What do you think of that idea of doing too many things or having too many dreams? Or what do you think? Is there such a thing as playing it safe, or is there such a thing as going out? Like, can you imagine going in a 68 VW van? That's almost 40 years old, and trusting that, and trusting, like me trusting you, to drive that van. Can you imagine what that process must be like? And then to make an itinerary and say, we're going to be in this place, and we're going to be in that place, and we're going to go there, and we're going to do that. But like, you see, if we get to the Petaluma Seed Bank, or when we get to the Petaluma Seed Bank, that's what I was doing today. I was sitting at the computer. I created a notebook and a cover that says itinerary of the journey. And that's what I create. I get these ideas. I use graphics to show myself and gain confidence. I put your picture on it because I didn't hear from you today. And so I wanted to build the energy of you and I, and the fact that we were setting out on this pilgrimage of faith to really do something that could be very fearful and very frightening, you know. And I think everybody has to face their fear and has to face something, especially in a world where we have people who want to make it more and more difficult for us to know what real food is. And here we are going to join with others, about 10,000 or more, and children, and give them away free seeds. And do you know what the kids are doing up there at the Natural Products Expo? When I give them seeds, I say, who wants this seed? Who wants that seed? All those kids in those schools are already gardening in that neck of the woods in Sonoma County. They don't think it's silly either. They are growing food, growing ancient wheat, growing ancient grains, working with nature, celebrating the rain. You know, I started in my article that's in the Life Connection talking about dark clouds hovering over our lives now, emanating out of Washington. And then I was saying, well, you know, I said, with dark clouds hovering over California and across the nation, emanating from Washington, D.C., the Enchanted Gardenmobile's journey aims to inspire a climate shift. You understand? A climate shift. I'm talking metaphors. Yeah, well, you know, the climate shift comes from people planting dreams and getting in touch with what I call your rare seed nature. So your rare seed nature, if you go and read my article, Tips for Winning Back Your Sacred Seed, which was printed in the Life Connection, and it's printed in Cure Zone. If you find that link, LaVon, you can read more of the tips. And like when I was talking at the March of Monsanto, I said, I feel like I'm looking at rare seeds meant to create a different kind of world. It's something to think of ourselves as a rare seed and to be a light act rather than a dark act. There's some people who are creating a dark act, but we can be the light act. What do you have to say, LaVon?
Well, I feel like I've heard you say those words a lot in public as an activist, and they didn't strike a chord with me as intensely as they did this year at the March Against Monsanto, because I kind of discovered that myself, that I am a rare seed. There's nobody on this plane that can do what I do. And there's a reason that I can do what I can do. I need to do it. But figuring out how to do it really overwhelms people. And the best advice that I have in that regard is just to keep your energy, your intentions focused on the thing that you want, because then it'll just become tangible. That's how life works, right? Like you said, everything that we essentially have is one thought, just an idea. Like the anti-media, you know, the
I met Nick when I talked 3 years ago at the launch of Monsanto. He was my first contact with the anti-media. Before, you were just a dream in his eye right then. And now 3 years later, you've got the Levon anti-media show every Friday night, 8 o'clock Pacific Standard Time for an hour. So here you're manifesting one dream.
Right.
And now we want to talk about some other dreams. What do you think of my idea of plant your dream, though, as a way of keeping focus when there's so many distractions in the world? What do you think about, like, for instance, I'm noticing the first kamut seeds that we planted 2 weeks ago are coming up in Keep the Beat Spot. You remember what happened when we planted those seeds?
Yeah, it's really powerful. And I got to say, Leslie, that your message is not only profound, but I think now's the time for people to hear it. You know, they're tuned, like how seeds are kind of stagnant until you give them the right attention. I feel like myself, I'm a seed, and other people that I know, we're seeds too. And maybe you gave us the right type of attention, but we're growing. You know, something's changing within us, and we're really realizing this kinetic nature that is just inherently everywhere. And, couple weeks ago, you guys, and I've seen this happen, but not like this, not so instantaneously, where right after the show, Leslie took us outside to my house to the back of his enchanted garden mobile, and we planted some seeds, like the ancient kamut, and I put the link to it in the chat, you guys, and I swear to God,
the next morning.
A couple hours later, actually, it began. Yeah, because I was awake. I was just like, bzzz. I was buzzing with excitement about what we had established via word. You know, I always say that you're speaking spells when you say words. Like, be careful what you're spelling. And we planted intentions, and the skies opened up, and pfft, like an entire ocean fell out. Well, what's considered an ocean for our county?
In July,
it rained for 2 whole days straight. And I myself collected 20 gallons. I know some people who collected hundreds of gallons of water, that is. And it just goes to show you, you know, there were 1, 2, 3, 4, there were 5 of us, right, that night. We planted, 5 of us sat there with this one pot and these seeds. And I gave a dream for each one of my seeds. I must have planted like 7. But it was so powerful to see that. And I think everybody who was there and who has experienced Leslie's lesson kind of walks away with this perplexing idea that, maybe there's something I'm supposed to do here. You know, and it doesn't relate to a particular church or ideal or anything of that sort. It just has to do with being alive and feeling alive. And as a gardener myself, I couldn't agree more with, you know, like what you give attention to in your garden is what flourishes. And you got to recognize that some plants don't work well with other plants, but that doesn't mean that they're worthless. You just got to find the right companion plants. Mm-hmm. You know, things flourish when they're in the right environment. And I think a lot of us people are the same way. So I'm done being transplanted. I'm setting roots, and I'm going to grow into I'm going to grow into a forest. So watch out, world.
So you're going to root your dream.
Yes.
Like the beat.
Yeah.
Levon, have you ever heard of Luther Burbank?
I got to say it sounds familiar, but I don't know why.
Okay. Luther Burbank was a man. He was a rare seed among us. who created many of the vegetables or the fruits that we eat today. And he had an empathetic relationship with nature. And one of my stops on the itinerary, like close your eyes for a minute, Levon, imagine an incredible garden with all kinds of beautiful flowers right there in Santa Rosa, a few blocks away from the Sonoma County Fairgrounds. And that is where Luther Burbank did some of his plant work. But he created, it's called the Luther Burbank Home and Gardens. And the Saturday before the National Heirloom Expo, I'm inviting those who are there to come and join me at the Luther Burbank Home and Gardens. And we are going to gather some of the rainwater, and we're going to, he's got a pond there, not rainwater, but he's got a little pond. And I want to water some of his plants in honoring of him, in gratitude that we made it successfully for the fourth year in a row in a 68 VW van to Santa Rosa. We're going to spend time, and I'm calling upon the Luther Burbank's spirit to draw successfully there. And all the issues that you have right now, Levon, that make you question and say, how could I do this trip? Can I pay the rent? Am I covering my bills? Am I doing this? I'm doing all the issues that each person listening has to face that keep our dreams in boxes. Do you know what Luther Burbank did out of his empathetic relationship with nature? I'm going to tell you.
Like, instinctively, I want to sell everything that's not a book or an antique chair, and I want to live on the land. My dream's so important that all the other stuff doesn't matter. So perhaps he did the same.
Well, I'm going to take you on this journey, and we're going to put some pictures up on Facebook and Instagram. Where are they going to be on Instagram?
Gosh, okay, I'm so excited. You guys, Leslie and I created an Instagram that we're going to upload probably every important encounter that we have on the road. And it's, I don't want to tell them the wrong one.
Well, there's one. I have one.
Yeah, we both have our own. So Leslie's Your Enchanted Gardener. And then the one for everybody, the community one, is Enchanted Garden Club. And there's an underscore in between those two words. Enchanted_garden_club, and then Love On Not Off. So we're going to link all three of those so you guys can literally follow us on the road. And we're going to find Enchanted Garden Club members, and we're going to connect them there so that we can all share our tips and secrets for growing food. Let's build a network of gardeners. Like, that's our idea.
So I want to touch upon this idea of creating an empathetic relationship with nature. Okay, that's what happens when you tend plants. That's the secret and the mystery of how you could plant a seed and it can start raining the next day in sync with your ideas and your thoughts and your words and your intentions. So we're going to give away these seed packets of ancient kamut that my friends at Baker Creek Heirloom Seed Company, put that link in there, the whole Baker Creek Heirloom Seed Company. They and my friends at Kamut International provided the ancient wheat, and now we have this new seed packet coming out. I decided the first 100, since this thing is going to start us on the path of winning back our sacred seed. Can you imagine that? We've practically lost all the seeds that once grew on the earth. Can you imagine there was such varieties of seeds, and those that's what's called heirloom seeds, and actually the rare seed that we are as indigenous people. But could you imagine we once had an empathetic relationship with nature, and nature actually loved us, and we could feel that love? And that's why these documents, when we give people freely the sacred seed starter kit, that's why I want to encourage people to read the Enchanted Garden Club prayer or the pledge. You know, this is the one that you like to read.
Well, I want to do some word clearing, because if you've been listening to my show for almost 2 years now, so a message that I have a lot, and it's become kind of a mantra for me, is I think we're all trying to say the same things, but we're using different words. And we spend a lot of time arguing over the words instead of the feeling behind them. So I want you guys to listen to the following words and notice how they make you feel. This is so powerful. So the first time I read this was after I gave my speech at the March Against Monsanto. I was the last speaker. I was so nervous. Leslie came up to me right after with such excitement. He's like, "We've got work to do." So he showed me the van, and I became a garden member. And I read these words, and you guys, they move me. Yay, I got an email. Sorry, I'm reading the chat at the same time. So these words are so powerful, okay? Regardless of your beliefs, just listen. So I'm an Enchanted Garden Club member. Oh, patient Mother Earth, let us walk together more closely. I accept your fulfillment as a byproduct of my own fertile deep dreams flowering. Remind me that all natural things on earth grow from seeds. Open in me the wisdom contained in a tiny seed that I might too experience how dreams grow naturally. The Enchanted Garden, a name for the new earth growing through me, starts here and now. I am a sacred seed. So how revolutionary to believe that you're valuable and worthy and have purpose and be empowered in that knowledge and belief. So many people, human doings that I meet, don't have that notion. And I so wonder, where does it come from? You know, regardless of our different backgrounds and heritage and communal upbringings and just montage of life experiences, why is that a consensus? You know, why do people feel empty?
Well, that's because there are a small handful of people who never had good mothers, and they happen to be elected to office, and they don't recognize that it's we the people. And they think it's something else, and they're creating that other world. But you see, my point is that if there are thousands and thousands of people growing literal grassroots in a pot, that creates a shift in awareness where those words that you were talking about have a different meaning. Because everything I talk about is a metaphor. I'm speaking on at least four levels of creation, you see. And I start, everything I talk about is on four levels. To how deep you could go, you will find meaning in there. But I hope it also, there's a literal meaning as well. But as you say, it's the energy that needs to come through. And it is, rather than fighting against, we really need to spend some time in the garden. Garden is actually a metaphor for what you call consciousness. The management of the garden is you. That's why I call it Keep a Garden Management Journal. The garden is consciousness, which is what you want to shift, and why we are stuck in the boxes, and why we are literally, why people are being fed right now, Levon. They are being fed, and this goes back at least 100 years of being fed by only part of, rather than what's whole. And then we start having what's called diseases, which turn into diseases because we are looking at naming them as conditions rather than processes of growth.
Right.
And so that's why I'm talking about this. like this, here's a lady, yeah, if anybody goes to this, yeah, it's powerful. Why, look at you, Lavon, you're eating that cake right there. How was it?
Overwhelming. So sweet. Too sweet.
It was
too much sweet. Too much of a good thing is not good.
Okay. Well, I'm going to tell one more story about Luther Burbank, because that's on our...
I do like cake.
Yeah, I know. Well, let them eat cake. I want to tell you one more story about Luther Burbank. So here, I like to visit the Luther Burbank Home and Gardens in Santa Rosa. And he listened to nature and created all kinds of fruits that never existed before. Like he created a spineless cactus. And a lot of people in biotechnology, they like to talk about how Luther Burbank did genetic engineering. Well, he did actually genetic modification, but he did it out of his love affair with nature. He would say, you know, I would like to create more variety. I would like to create more abundance. I would like to create a lot of things out of the gene.
You can create GMOs without creating disease in the body?
Well, you could genetically modify things through techniques of just regular plant growth. I mean, and in harmony with nature. You don't have to do...
You don't have to do it Monsanto's way?
You don't have to make war on nature. Yeah, in other words, all pharmaceuticals, basically, they have value, especially as heroic measures, because they give us more time to make mistakes and learn from our errors. But to define medicine as pharmaceutical drugs or stuff that you could... You know what one of my biggest fears is? If there's an earthquake, I would get stuck in CVS rather than People's Food Store. You know what I mean? If I got stuck in People's Food Store, I could live, and if I had a few extra people, we would just promote each other, and we would start families and communities, and some two people would get together, and I would be the grandfather, and we would have some young person, and we would. So guess what Luther Burbank did? In 1907, in his he wrote a book called, I have it right here, it's called The Training of the Human Plant, okay? And he talks about how plants and kids grow by the principles of nature. His book is online, it's called The Training of the Human Plant. And he talks about childhood education. And, well, in the earthquake of 1907, San Francisco, 100 miles away from Santa Rosa, they had this tremendous earthquake, and a lot of things fell down. And in the city of Santa Rosa, a lot of buildings fell down. But would you believe that Luther Burbank's greenhouse made out of glass, guess what happened?
Was it fortified by plants?
Well, it was his greenhouse. Tell me what happened to Luther Burbank's greenhouse during the earthquake of 1907. Well, I don't know if it was covered with vines, but it was definitely covered with glass. And not one pane of glass shattered.
Wow.
And all the other buildings around him in the city, a lot of them were affected by the earthquake of San Francisco. So what is that? What is that empathetic relationship with nature that I'm talking about, of someone who created in harmony with nature? And you know, I'll bet you there's at least a couple young people that we know who would like to, who have dreams and would like one of our winning back our sacred seed starter kits. You know, the first 100, I think we should sign them and number them and offer them, because this is the start of the pure food revolution. This is the start of a dream that I had. And I've had other dreams, you know, Lavon. Look at this. See this book? See that? What's that called?
The Ultimate Gardener.
Okay, that was a dream I had 15 years ago. I wanted to be published by that company.
Oh.
Okay, now I gave them this idea for this book. I thought I was going to write it, but I didn't. But they just put some of my pictures in here. This is one of mine. But when the book came out, I was so surprised. Look what it says right there.
Wow, it's dedicated to you. It says, to Leslie Goldman, the Enchanted Gardener, for planting dreams and seeds of inspiration. I'm getting so many chills right now. Are you putting a spell on me? To all those who garden and for those who dream to have a garden one day. Especially the people who are talking to me in the chat. You guys want a garden. Don't be inhibited by having a small box. You know, that's a limitation in your mind. You can grow in anything. There's a few of you in there who are saying that you grow in a tire or, you know, a container. You'd be amazed. I pull seedlings out of my compost. Seeds grow if they're nourished the right way. So you give them what they need and they're going to flourish.
So right? I want to give you what you need.
Oh, yeah?
I need to know that you're going to make this journey in the Enchanted Garden Belt no matter what, and you're going to find a way. And we need to plant a couple seeds to that.
I agree. We do.
We need to plant some dreams.
We do.
And you need to read this from from the Enchanted Gardener's book. This is a book. What does this say? Here, I'm going
to
give you a...
First, I'd like to put a little notation here, since we're talking about seed dreams. Maybe a year ago, I asked the universe for a teacher. I said, I need a teacher, like Mr. Miyagi style, but way cooler. But he's got to speak in metaphors. I'm pretty sure that's you. Okay, and...
Okay, so first of all, where's my seed pack?
Oh, no. Everybody, stop what you're doing and
okay,
find
and
the seeds.
Everybody, put your attention on the seed. I know I have seed.
We're going to get out of... We're going to run out of time soon, but I want to leave you guys with these words. So,
and
restore...
This is dedicated to LaVon having the courage to find a way to get in the Enchanted Garden Mobile, and would you safely drive us along the way, as you wrote on the flyer, to meet the sacred seeds.
Yeah, I got to find the other me's and give them their power. So restore my faith that grows grass endlessly in each and every new moment, and seeds will come to pass into full-blown dreams in their own time and flowering. Show me the forgiveness to go easier on myself, to live the rhythm of my seasons. Grant me the insight to rejoice future harvests in the present. Leslie Goldman, thank you so much. See you guys on Monday. I'ma let them know, through the stereo. Yo, here we go through the